Continuing our reading of Sri Brahma Samhita, on page number one, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. Purport. Krishna is the exalted supreme entity, having his eternal name, eternal form, eternal attribution, and eternal pastimes. The very name Krishna implies his love-attracting designation, expressing by his eternal nomenclature the acme of entity. His eternal, beautiful, heavenly, blue-tinged body, glowing with the intensity of ever-existing knowledge, has a flute in both of his hands. As his inconceivable spiritual energy is all extending, still he maintains his all-charming medium size by his qualifying spiritual instrumentals. Can you tell them they're talking back there and we can hear them? As his inconceivable spiritual energy is all extending, still he maintains his all-charming medium size by his qualifying spiritual instrumentals. His all-accommodating spiritual subjectivity is nicely manifested in his eternal form. The concentrated all-time presence, uncovered knowledge, and inebriating felicity have their beauty in him. The mundane manifested portion of his own self is known as all-pervading Paramatma, Ishvara, Supreme Lord, or Vishnu, all-fostering. Hence it is evident that Krishna is sole Supreme Godhead. His unrivaled or unique spiritual body of super-excellent charm is eternally unveiled with innumerable spiritual instrumentals, senses, and unreckonable attributes, keeping their signifying location properly, adjusting at the same time by his inconceivable conciliative powers. This beautiful spiritual figure is identical with Krishna, and the spiritual entity of Krishna is identical with his own figure. The very intensely blended entity of eternal presence of felicitous cognition is the charming targeted holding of transcendental icon. It follows that the conception of the indistinguishable formless magnitude Brahman, which is an indolent lax presentment of cognitive bliss, is merely a penumbra of intensely blended glow of the three concomitants, the blissful, the substantive, and the cognitive. This transcendental manifestive icon Krishna, in his original face, is primordial background, a magnitudinal infinite Brahman, and of the all-pervasive oversoul. Krishna is truly visioned in his variegated pastimes, such as owner of transcendental cows, chief of cowherds, consort of milkmaids, ruler of the terrestrial abode Gokula, and object of worship by transcendental residents of Goloka beauties, is Govinda. He is the root cause of all causes, who are the predominating and predominated agents of the universe. The glands of his projected fractional portion in the sacred originating water, that is the personal oversoul or Paramatma, gives rise to the secondary potency, nature, who creates this mundane universe. This oversoul's intermediate energy brings forth the individual souls analogously to the emanated rays of the sun. This book is a treatise of Krishna. So the preamble is enacted by chanting his name in the beginning. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhi Govinda Sarvakaran Karanam, which gives almost a summary of the entire Brahma Samhita, as we've heard how, from the very beginning, how Krishna expands himself and glances over the material nature, takes the forms of Shiva and Durga, take the form of the linga and the yoni and create the forms of this world, whereas Krishna is ever existing in his transcendental abode and has no association with his external energy.
the mind needs somewhere to focus and to have a goal. For lack of a goal, we can wander in any direction. So the book starts off with this clear goal of keeping the mind fixed on Krishna. As Krishna says, man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mami vaishyasi yukvaivam atmana mat parayanaha in the Bhagavad Gita. Just fix your mind upon me. So one cannot fix one's mind, Krishna says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, on something impersonal, formless. It's very difficult. But the beautiful form of Krishna holding a flute and with innumerable attributes and qualities one can become absorbed in and think of. Still, that might be difficult because the mind's so addicted to the varieties of the material world. Tribir gunamayir bhavir ebi sarvi midam jagat. These three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance, have attracted our attention, and we become absorbed in those varieties, the temporary varieties. Even though we see they're moving, they're flickering, and we can't hold on to them, still we can't give them up. Therefore, it's recommended by Lord Shiva in the Srimad Bhagavatam that we should pray to the Lord. And as an example of how he can help us to fix our minds on his form, Krishna expands himself into Baladev, and then Baladev into the quadruple expansion. And in that quadruple expansion, the expansion of Pradyumna is manifest. And Pradyumna is the lord of the mind. And therefore, Lord Shiva told the Prachetas that if you pray to Pradyumna, since he's the lord of your mind, that please help me to fix my mind upon you, he can arrange it. Because he's the lord of the mind. In fact, he expands himself into the sun god and also into the moon god, which have great influence over the movements of all living entities in this world. And so the goal is clear. Ishvara Paramakrishna Sakchira Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. This sets the stage for the entire Brahma Samhita, where we are going to fix our minds on Krishna. But we must prayerfully enter within the Brahma Samhita, praying as Lord Brahma is praying, that we can gradually, step by step, stay absorbed. Pramanais tatsaracharais tarabhyasair nirantaram. Bodhayanatmanatmanam bhaktimapyutamam labhet. He says, by scriptural evidence, pramanais. You take from the Shastra and you understand what is correct action. And also by regularly reciting the Shastra, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, it's one of the austerities of speech, by living one's life by Shastra, pramanais tatsaracharais, then by acting properly so that one's regulated in devotional service, very important. And this includes, Prabhupada said, you must perform tapasya if you're going to be happy in this world. You can't get any happiness just by trying to enjoy your senses. You'll get the opposite result. But if you perform tapasya, tapo divyam putraka yena sadvam shud yet yasmad brahma saukyam tonantam, you can get unlimited spiritual happiness. There are many kinds of tapasya listed in the Vedas, some of which seem very harsh, like going off in solitude and sitting in hot fires or up to the neck in cold water, many other types of things. But Prabhupada said, you only have to follow these things to be considered a major tapasvi in this age of Kali Yuga. And what are these five things? One is chant 16 rounds of japa every day. And the other four are the four regulative principles of freedom. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. He said, if you follow these principles, these five principles, wherever you go or wherever you are, you'll be performing tapasya, the best kind of tapasya, and you'll attain perfection. So, pramanais, tatsaracharais, by taking the help of shastra, by proper action, tarabhyasya nirantaram. Pramanais, tatsaracharais, tarabhyasir, and abhyas. Abhyas means you have to do it over and over and over again. You have to practice a lot. Every day. Nirantara means constantly you have to do this because the end can come at any minute. We don't know at what time we're going to, the heart will stop beating or we'll stop breathing and we'll be called away from this body. We're merely stepping over. We're an eternal soul which is stepping over in this body. Utkramantam stitam bhapi bhunanam bhap gunanvitam. And if we're not spiritually aware, then we'll be ignorant when we leave this body and we won't know where we're going. We'll be placed somewhere out of the force of the modes of material nature. But if we practice fixing our mind on Krishna, as is recommended in this verse, hearing Shastra, practicing this tapasya, and meaning doing it regularly over and over again, abhyas, then pramanais tatsaracharais tadabhyasir narantaram bodhayanat manatmanam bhakti mapyutamam labhet. You will attain bhakti. And this is the advice given in the Brahma Samhita. And so it's clear. We know where to fix our mind on Krishna. Many children are born into this world and they may say, oh, I don't know who my father is, especially nowadays. A lot of kids are born and they say, I have no idea who my father is. But that doesn't mean they don't have a father. It just means they don't know who their father is. And they can find out. So we don't know who our father is when we're born into this world. Om agyanati vidandasya gyananjanasya. We don't know. But if we hear from Shastra, we hear from our mother. Shastra is the mother. She'll tell us, here's your father. And if you take it, then you're fortunate because then you know where to fix your mind. And if you fix your mind on Krishna, Krishna says, Ananyas chintayantomam ye jana pariupasate, tesham nityabdi yuktanam yoga kshemam baham yaham. I'll carry what you lack and preserve what you have. You got the right goal. If you just fix your mind on me, even if you don't know that much about Sanskrit or you're not from a good family, anything, he'll carry what you lack, preserve what you have if you just fix your mind on Krishna. So this Brahma Samhita is very important. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchidananda Vigraha. I mean, a while back I had to, I was conducting some business and there was some, I had trusted some people and then there was some, what do you call? Hanky-panky, something. They did something inappropriate. I had trusted someone I was so shocked. I was so shocked. I actually was knocked off my axis because I was, I couldn't believe it that somebody I trusted and known would actually, try to do something which was underhanded. And I remember my mind was reeling and I talked to an old devotee friend of mine about it. I had called him on the phone. I was talking to him on the phone and, I explained the situation to him. And he called me back the next day and I was listening to the message. And the first thing he said stuck in my mind. And he said, just remember, we're not the Ishvar. Krishna's the Ishvar. we can't control all these things. There are many things happening in this world that we just cannot control. But Krishna can control. And we should take shelter of him. And as soon as we try to become the Ishvar and take control, immediately there's anxiety. But as soon as we meditate on the Supreme Ishvar and take shelter of him, then we become satisfied. Samasrita ye parapalava plavam mahat padam bunya yasho marare bhavam budir vatsa padam param padam 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 yabhi padam natesham. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that this is where you can take shelter, at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, because he's the source of the whole material world, of everything that's going on. He's controlling it. He's controlling our mind, and also mentioned by Lord Shiva, not just the mind, he's controlling the, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the most formidable of all our enemies, the tongue. And he also is the deity of our tongue, Pradyumna. So if you pray to Pradyumna, he can also help control the mind, he can help control the tongue. And if we can do these things, then actually we'll reconnect with Krishna through pure devotional service. Means he's already the master of our senses. Hrishikesha Hrishikena Sevanam Bhakti Ruchite. This is the actual very definition of bhakti, is to remember that all my senses are being controlled by Krishna and to engage in his service and use all the senses in his service. Then we'll become satisfied and happy. So we're being taken in the right direction, and we have to bring our mind constantly back to this verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna. He's the supreme controller of all controllers. Sakchidananda Vigraha. And he has a form, and it's all blissful, all perfect, all charming. It captivates the mind of even Cupid. That's why he's called Madan Mohan. As everyone in this world is running after Cupid, being influenced by Cupid. You know, just that's what's making the world go. Everyone's attraction to the opposite sex. So Rupa Goswami says, Yuvatinam yata yuni yunam cha yuvatau yata. Mano biramate tadvam, mano mam ramate tvayi. Just as everyone's running wild in this world, like young boys are running wild after young girls, and young girls running wild naturally after young boys. You don't have to teach them. He says, please let my mind run like this after Krishna. So that can happen, according to the Brahma Samhita. If we simply continually practice bringing our mind back to Krishna, eventually we'll become fully attracted. And especially mentioned here by the mantra, do thou practice austerity by means of this mantra. Tapas tam tapa etena tavas siddhir bhavishyati. Goddess Saraswati told Brahma, when he was in complete ignorance, she came before him and gave him this instruction, Uvacha puritas tasmai tasya divya Saraswati kama krishnaya govinda he gopijana ityapi balabhaya priyavanir mantram te tasati priyam. She gave him a mantra, and then she said, practice this mantra, and by the association of the mantra, you will attain all perfection. Means your mind will run after Krishna. And that's the perfection of life. So we can fix our minds on the Brahma Samhita today and every day as a regular daily function. If we can't do the whole Brahma Samhita like we did this morning due to other commitments, we can at least do this one verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarva Karanakara. Sri Brahma Samhita Ki. Guprimanande. Yes, use the microphone, please.
Prabhuji, we are enchanting one mantra, and that is, I think, that's what I learned, that it is meant for perfection. Now you're suggesting another mantra. So, like, we are enchanting 16 rounds of mantra, and if we do that, we can get perfection. But now you're suggesting we have to do another mantra. But if we have to do another mantra, how do we do it? Like, what's the way to do it?
You're chanting 16 rounds?
Not every day, but 4 days a week.
Wow. Well, you definitely attain perfection. There's many, many mantras, but you're chanting the Maha Mantra, right?
Yeah.
Then you don't have to chant any other mantra.
Okay.
Because the Maha Mantra contains all other mantras. It's the prime mantra for this age that Mahaprabhu distributed. Of course, you chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. You chant that mantra?
No.
Just add that one mantra before you chant Hare Krishna mantra, and then you don't need any other mantra.
Meaning every time I have to do that?
Just before you start your 16 rounds, chant one mantra, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda. Then chant 16 rounds. That's recommended because Lord Chaitanya is the one who distributes the Maha Mantra, and he's giving it in such a way that we can enter into it without difficulty. And so that makes it even more accessible. Other than that, you don't need to chant any other mantra. But if you like to, you know, these other mantras, they're also helpful. Like the mantras that are mentioned here are Gayatri mantras. And so the Gayatri mantra also, it's not necessary, but it's very important, especially in the age of Kali Yuga, because as mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that you don't even need initiation, practically speaking, to chant the Maha Mantra. Because it's a self-manifested mantra. It's non-different from Krishna. It's all-powerful. But Jiva Goswami says the problem is in this age, we're so bombarded by distractions and so absorbed in the bodily conception of life that it's very difficult to chant the Maha Mantra purely and to concentrate one's mind. And so there are other kinds of mantras like the Gayatri Mantra, which one can receive from disciplic succession, from a guru. And by chanting that mantra, it actually will help us to have a more personal conception of the Lord when we're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It helps us fix our mind. Those kinds of mantras, there's a time and place to chant them, like three times a day at the sandhyas, morning, afternoon, evening. And by sitting down three times a day and chanting these mantras for 5 or 10 minutes, then it helps bring the mind back to the personal conception of the Lord. And they're actually infused with special potencies which have been given to them by the actual devotees who have realized those mantras and passed them along. So you can get special help also from these other mantras. But chanting the Maha Mantra is all that's necessary.
And another thing,
does that answer your question, though?
A little bit, because I'm not enchanting by sitting like 16 rounds. Even if I'm driving, I count that too, if I do that. Like 16 rounds is like the total thing. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm going to sit here and chant. That means I chant four rounds.
Because you're busy.
A little bit, like, but I try. Another question I have for you.
Well, can I answer that question first?
Yes, I did. You did, actually.
I did, okay.
Because I'm not perfect, so maybe I need more perfection to do enchant Maha Mantra. That's the way you explain.
Well, practice. And, you know, chanting 16 rounds, sitting with concentration, if you can come up to that point at some time, you know, aim towards doing all your 16 rounds that way, then it'll be very beneficial. But going on chanting all the time is a good idea also.
Like 4 rounds while I'm driving, 4 rounds while I'm coming back, and 4 rounds while I sit and chant. That's it. Like 12 for sure. I don't know how I do it, but I do it. Another question is, like, you mentioned about the son of Krishna,
Prithyumna.
He is incarnation of Kamadev. That's what I was reading Bhagavatam. So why do we, when we are concentrating over Krishna's form, why do we need to, ask the mercy of him? If we ask mercy from Krishna, why do we ask mercy from him?
You don't. Krishna is the source of all the incarnations, and if you're asking from Krishna, then you get the same result. That's what the meaning of that verse I quoted, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam. Ananyas means without deviation. Chintayanto Mam, Krishna is saying, if you just meditate on me, then everything else will be fulfilled. So you don't have to. But there are varieties in the spiritual world as well. Therefore, we say, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda. All these are names of different aspects of the Absolute Truth, starting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, and then the incarnation of the Lord, Advaita Acharya, or Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram, the expansion of Krishna, who comes in the form of the Guru. Then there's the incarnation of the Lord, Mahavishnu, who's Advaita Acharya. Then there's the pure devotee of the Lord, Srivas. Gadadhar is also the potency, of the Shakti Tattva. And Srivas represents the pure devotee, like the perfected Jiva. And so they're one absolute, but they have many varieties. So there are varieties within the spiritual world. So when we talk about taking help from special forms of the Lord, different aspects of the Lord, like Pradyumna, like Lord Shiva is mentioning. It can all be attained just by meditating on Krishna. But also, evam vratasva priyanama kirtya jatanurago chitta chutta ucher. It's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when you begin chanting, Krishna may reveal himself through his name in different aspects that you become particularly attracted to at particular times. You know, some devotees, they're attracted to a very specific form of the Lord, ultimately, when our relationship begins to awaken. And as a matter of fact, every living entity has a unique relationship with Krishna. And that becomes manifest through our chanting of the name. Evam vrtaswa priyanamakirtya jatanu rago jitatuta ucher. Gradually, by chanting the name, we become attracted to a particular aspect of the Lord. So there are more details. Like when we start spiritual life, it looks like one thing. Just like when you start making ghee, the butter starts off as one thing. But when you heat it, it turns into two things. There's the ghee, and then there's the impurities that come off. You know, it divides up. And then as our chanting goes on, you know, we may have experienced different aspects of our spiritual life. And you may become attracted to chanting different mantras too. You'll finish your 16 rounds and you say, then you'll have a taste and you'll say, I want to chant these mantras too. You may have a taste for chanting particular chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. They're all in different moods, you know, and there are different ragas or different tunes for chanting a lot of these prayers, like the Gopi's prayers in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When expert chanters of the Bhagavatam sing those, they sing in different moods to evoke the mood of separation, or when the mood of Lord Rishabhadeva in the 5th canto, very heavy kind of prayers there, almost chastising his sons. You know, and then there's prayers to Lord Nrisimhadeva we find in the Bhagavatam that sound more reverential and things like that. These are all varieties within unity, within the spiritual world. So all those things are actually what attract our mind, because we need variety. We're ananda seeking, and ananda means variety. It's the mother of enjoyment. So there's unlimited variety within Krishna and within the spiritual world, and we can swim in that variety and eternally. That is the bhakti process, to enter into that ocean. Yes, Akurnath Prabhu. Microphone for him.
I was enchanted by the second sentence of the purport that we just read relating to this point. And I was talking about the name of Krishna to the two Mormon elders that I was talking to last night, the Harinama. Maybe you could just read that.
The very name Krishna implies his love-attracting designation, expressing his eternal nomenclature, the acme of entity.
So there are so many different names of God, and he has so many different qualities and aspects. He's the greatest, he's the creator, he's all these things. But the name of Krishna is a very special name, and it implies how he's attracting people to these loving relationships. And that's something I found very charming, and there's something special about their name, Krishna, above all other names. Sorry, I hope I didn't jump off the track. I was thinking about
that. Not at all. You're, as usual, right on the track. In fact, you're the engine. Is that, yeah?